This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I am driving home, but I'm driving home because I made a mistake. So this is the 4th of July weekend coming up. And so different things are closed and the daycare situation is weird and blah, 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 blah. So what Justin and I are doing this weekend was that I had Aiden Tuesday and Wednesday. He will have Aiden. No, I had Aiden Monday and Wednesday. He will have Aiden Tuesday and Thursday, but he'll also have him Friday this week because Legacy will be closed where we take Aiden for the 3rd. But Cox Daycare will be closed on the 4th because they didn't have enough people who needed daycare to be open on the 4th. So that means I will have Aiden on Saturday, which is unusual. Dustin will have Aiden on Friday, which is unusual. I needed to get money to Legacy on Wednesday, which is very unusual. I usually just take the money on Fridays. So in the midst of all that, I got myself upside down and decided we only needed 3 days next week, but we really needed 4. Because Dustin is off on Monday, and then he does the Tuesday, Thursday, and I'll do the Wednesday, Friday. So because of all that, I was 1 day short, so it's Thursday today, so I thought, well, we gotta do the podcast anyways, I'll just run over to Fairgrove. We'll just do the podcast on the way home. So I am driving home today. Everything's pottering along. You know, at work, we're just trying to get through things as per our schedule as we can. You know, it all seems to be puttering along. It's interesting. It's interesting. We still haven't necessarily had any extra resources coming on. So up in the Assemblies of God World Missions, we use a product called K2, which is a no-code form and workflow environment to gather information from missionaries or guide missionaries through any kind of a process that we need to guide them through. We just create forms and workflows to do all that stuff. And incidentally, we have these things called service awards, where the missionaries earn certain cash prizes, we'll call them, for the length of times that they have served. So there's one at 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and et cetera, et cetera. I can't remember all the years they're at. But I had actually fully automated that in terms of the IT department not needing to be involved. We could just hand over the forms and people could just click the buttons and do the thing. But we only got halfway through the testing 5 years ago. And then we just kept having things come up, and so all this stuff was deployed, it was all sitting there, it was ready to go. So this year we decided we're making a push, we're gonna get this done. So we got it started, and the first half of it went great. It was just like bing, 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 well there you go, it's working. And then, the lady we were working with in mobilization and development, she went and got another job, and then the new lady who replaced her said, well, I don't think I'm supposed to be doing service awards, and so then I, in the head of divisional accounting, just needed to finish that up, and we did yesterday. We just went through the rest of the forms, and it worked. It worked, mostly. We got some permissions on a report. We had resolve, and I had written one query that didn't account for the fact that missionaries might earn 2 different awards on the same cycle. So I made that small change. It was no big deal. Because sometimes they're having to get caught up. So that's understandable. But anyway, so that all's going fine. I've got more work to do today, and, you know, I'm just puttering along with the new assignments they give me and heavily using AI for a lot of this stuff and double checking everything, making sure that, you know, we're all right. Things aren't getting written incorrectly, but so far it's all good. So that's good. I am in the process of writing Still Whispers the Life's Prayer now. I went ahead and started that. And it's going fine. These Still Whisper books are very relaxed. You know, they're very much stream of consciousness. They're just like I'm sitting across the table from somebody for breakfast and chatting, you know, so they're fine. And it's very interesting, you know, as you get into it and you start writing, then things that you didn't see before come to mind. I am making use of AI in that as well, not for the actual writing, but for the research. So if a phrase strikes me interesting, you know, I will just go and say, hey, how does this phrase tie into that phrase? You know, trying to think of an example here real quick. But really, it's just, I mean, any time. I've been chatting with ChatGPT about the Lord's Prayer, so it knows that I'm working on the Lord's Prayer. So anytime, you know, I ask anything biblical now, it tries to kind of pull that back around and tie it into that. But I was working with the phrase, your will be done. And of course, there's some deep connections in Jesus's life to that phrase, your will be done, because it comes back up, you know, all the way at the end. As Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. And so I had asked ChatGPT about that, so it was running parallels and giving me extra scripture references for where other things tied in, and I've been asking it about the parables, you know, like, tell me about all the parables that talk about the kingdom coming in secret, or the coming kingdom being a mystery, and I mean, it'll just spray this stuff out. And frankly, it does a pretty good job about writing devotionals, but it's just crazy. But I'm not necessarily just copy and pasting that stuff, you know, I'm writing it over in my words, but man, for research for this stuff, it's good stuff, you know. So the latest one was, I was talking about your will be done, and I remembered the phrase, he who spared not his own son, because I wanted to bring out the aspect that when Jesus prays, your will be done, he's not praying, make everything comfortable for me, because that's not what that's about at all. And in multiple places, I've been talking about the fact that when we say, hallowed be your name, that's holy be your name, or set apart be your name, or may your name, may your reputation be recognized as being other, that you are wholly other, that you don't do things the way we think you should do things. You don't do things for our own comfort. You have a plan, you are working, and all of that is for your good pleasure. And so I was going through all that and then talking about this idea of he who spared not his own son. And, you know, of course, it popped out that reference immediately and did a little exegesis on it. And I mean, it's all just good, you know, it's all good. And what's interesting about that passage, it's out of Romans 8. I think it's Romans 8. What's interesting about that passage is where he says, seeing who spared not his own son, how will he not give you all things freely? And it's easy to read that and take pieces of it out of context and say, oh yes, see, God is always going to take care of me and everything will be great and I am more than an overcomer. But if you look at the whole passage, what Paul is saying is it doesn't matter what we encounter in this life, you know, whether we encounter difficulties and whether we encounter fasting and hunger and all these things, that God is with us and he will help us overcome these things. So it's not really preaching that our lives were going to be filled with ease and comfort. It's preaching that God's love will always be with us and nothing will separate us from his love, even if we encounter difficulties, which of course flows right along with thy will be done, your will be done. I drop into King James a lot. Falls into place with your will be done quite nicely, and so I'm talking about that in that chapter. So it's all just kind of just conversational like that. My target is to hit about 80 pages. I intend this to be small, very small. And I'm hoping to have it done in what would be the first writing sprint that I was doing for Windfall. So the first writing sprint of the second book in Windfall. No, the second writing sprint of the first book, when I was doing two books a year, would have been July and August. So I'm expecting to have it finished in July and August, and then I'll get it together and put together a cover and see if anyone wants to beta read it. Then I'll just put that out somewhere around October 1st, maybe middle of September, just as another book that I put out this year. So, and then after that, of course, we'll get started on the book on the parables. And I am mentioning a few things about the parables in this book, but I will revisit those again. So the writing's going fine. I am not pushing anywhere near as hard as I used to push when I was doing the Windfall stuff, because this book, it might be 80,000 words by the time we're all said and done, but it's not, you know, it's not going to be long. But it's good, you know, it gives me something to do. Costumes are going fine. I've got some repairs to do on Mr. Potato Head costume. I've got some latches coming in. We're going to get those done, and then as soon as I can get Mr. Potato Head taken care of, and so that I can close the latches and keep him closed, you know, then at that point, I'll probably start on Halloween. I've got actually two different costumes, one to grocery shop in and then one to wear for the full costume. And the one to grocery shop in, I've got some repairs to do. It was a custom job from AliExpress, and I sent them all my measurements, and they apparently did not add any ease, you know, any extra for movement in it, because I can't even get my arms into the sleeves. So, you know, I'll go rip those seams out and put in some extra expanding fabric in there so that it's got a little more push and give to it. And it won't be that hard to get that done. So once I get that done, then I've got to actually build the full framework to hold the mannequin body, the headless mannequin body, for the Halloween stuff. So it'll be fine. Yeah, that's all fun. So that's about it. All is well, my beloved's been having a lot of physical difficulties. You might say a word of prayer for her. She's having a lot of pain in her hip. It's been going on for 2 or 3 weeks now, and she's, you know, trying to get that under control. We've had her to the emergency, well, we've had her to urgent care twice. Had her to urgent care twice. She told me last night she was almost ready to have me go ahead and take her to urgent care again. But then it kind of cleared up, and last night she said it was on her other side, so we're not really sure what's going on. But we'll keep puttering along and trying to figure that out and, you know, go from there. So all of that's good and well. I have made it back home, and I do need to get downstairs and start working. However, I did have some notes that I had prepared for today, because I'm hearing more and more and more now. And maybe it's just because of my particular feed on YouTube, but wow, there is more and more and more going on with the whole robot thing. Now, granted, somebody like Amazon, they have huge fleets of robots, but they're specialty robots, and they're, you know, a lot of development to make them work correctly, and et cetera, et cetera. But this whole new fleet of humanoid robots that is coming on strong, people keep talking about, oh yeah, by 2035, or yeah, by 2033, or by, and I, we are in an exponential growth in adoption on these robots, and there's 140 different companies in China that are building robots, and we of course have multiple companies here in the States that are working on robots. I think Unitree just released a $4,950 robot that's very agile, that you can train to do stuff. And it's networked with the other ones, so when one learns a skill, then the other ones have a skill. And so there's a lot of stuff that's really heating up in really fascinating ways and in accelerating ways. And I fully expect that, unless there's some sort of resource constraint, we're going to see a lot of movement over the next year, year and a half. I was listening to one YouTuber that was talking about the fact that the last time that unions rebelled against automation was when all the computer-controlled lathes and all that kind of thing came in, and the unions were saying, well, this is going to take jobs, and it's going to, and, you know, we have to have some protections and that kind of stuff. Well, I guess, who was it? Hyundai, I think, was talking about bringing in robots to help with their lines. And these are general purpose robots. So these are not, you know, tons of development. You just bring them in and teach them what to do, and they just do it, including swapping out their own battery packs, which means that they can work 24 hours a day. And the union had actually run some numbers, and they said, well, if you start bringing these things in, this robot is going to replace 3 workers basically for the cost of 1 worker in 1 year or in 2 years or something. So, I mean, it's seemingly going to just make sense for companies to start cutting over to humanoid robot workers. And so that wave is coming. It's interesting. I mean, there's all kinds of different variations on this. You know, some of them, they can just watch videos and learn. Some of them, you move the robot and you kind of tell it how to do the thing. But with all of the advances that have made in AI now, of course, you can just talk to them too, you know, stack those boxes, bring me the screwdriver, load the dishwasher. I mean, all those things are coming. And even Tesla is talking about in a couple of years having these things available at $20,000. Well, $20,000 is a lot. That's a lot of money. But we have a housekeeper who comes every week. You know, we have lots of gardening things we need done around the house. We have, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could turn a robot loose on it if it could actually do that. There is another really fascinating robot called Figure AI. And, I mean, they've got all kinds of investments that have made, and their thing is to build a general purpose humanoid robot that just works alongside humans. Oh, and that's the other thing about Hyundai. I think it was Hyundai. So the unions have come to Hyundai, I guess, in South Korea, and they're concerned and they want guarantees and all that kind of stuff. Well, Hyundai is building or has built a plant from the ground up in South Carolina, I think. It was one of the southern states over there. And it's a non-union shop. So what they're intending to do, they made a big investment in BYD, maybe a Chinese company, to build humanoid robots. And so they're just putting all their humanoid robots into that factory to see how things work out. Because there's no regulations on it at this point. There's no what do you do if a robot hurts a human type thing. And, you know, they're just going to work it out. So this stuff is coming. It is coming. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how fast. And of course, in the States, Boston Dynamics has been huge. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the States for robotics. And certainly China has had, you know, and there's even companies like BMW and Mercedes. They're testing humanoid robots inside their factories. And some notes that ChatGPT put together for me was really kind of comparing it to other technological patterns that we have seen. For instance, with smartphones or personal computers or televisions or airplanes back in the olden days, once manufacturing scales, the prices start coming down. And once the prices start coming down, people find things to use them for if they're useful. So the notes were saying, you know, right now a compact or a humanoid robot might cost $100,000. And yet even at $100,000 or $150,000, you can make it make sense in a factory if it can replace three workers. But within a decade, you know, that price point could fall to what Elon Musk has been talking about, which is $20,000. And once, you know, the notes that ChatGPT put together for me said, well, okay, why would businesses buy them? Suppose a robot costs $30,000. It works 24 hours a day. It needs no vacation, no sick leave, no retirement, no commute, no child care, no overtime, no coffee break. It simply charges and goes back to work for dangerous, dirty, or repetitive jobs. I mean, for businesses, that's economically irresistible. And of course, that just fuels the development of more and more robots, because once the robots can build the robots, then things just take off. So we're in like a really, really interesting time. And, you know, the prediction that ChatGPT made was that within the next decade, we would see the fulfillment of all these things. But I just don't know that it's going to be that long. Because when we see the kind of acceleration that we see in AI, you know, there was nothing, and then ChatGPT, what, 2 or 3 gets released, and we're all like, what? And then just within a couple of years after that, because I think the first LLM was like something like 2022. It hasn't been that long. And it's certainly, there's been a noticeable acceleration in programming and in abilities with the AIs just this year. So you get those things paired together with hardware that's actually flexible and can be manufactured by other robots, and this thing is getting ready to launch. And it will bring with it all the accompanying interesting things and problems and all that. But, you know, God's with us. Thy will be done. We'll just have to see where this goes. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.